together. We, even though we speak different languages, we have different language groups. We present either through the scripture reading or through a song. We have all different language groups participating in our worship today. So it's wonderful to see all of you here worshiping together. My sermon series this past couple months have been God's Remnant Church. And today's topic is God's Remnant Church, when the fullness of time had come. Now, what does it mean when the Bible says the fullness of time had come? When Jasmine and I were expecting JJ, it was our first child. We didn't really know what to expect, but the doctor told us the due date. And we were like, okay, so that's when we are expecting the child. So we prepared the room, we got a car seat, we even changed our car. The car that we had a clock seat. And Jasmine goes, you know what? Anytime I sit in the car, the clock seat has a lot of dust. And it's really bad for the child. It must be bad for the child. Let's go ahead and change the car. So I traded in the old car, and then I got a used car that has the leather seat. Same year, about the same year, but we got the car so that there would be less dust. So we prepared ourselves. But the job that I was working at was the language institute at the time, English Language Institute in Korea. And it was about 11 days before her due date. And there was an English camp, it was a summer camp. And I told my boss, Pastor was the boss, said, like, well, my wife is expecting in about 11 days. I don't think I should go on this camp. And he said, it'll be fine. Your wife will be fine. Just go. Like, if you don't go, we need you. Like, well, Pastor, but she's due in less than 2 weeks. And he said, it'll be fine. So I couldn't get my time off, and I went. It was about 2-3 hours away from Seoul, where we were living, and we went. And I went there the first night. The camp went okay. I slept one night, and then the next day, I get a call from Jasmine saying, honey, I think it's time. I'm like, what do you mean it's time? I had to cancel, drop everything, and since I rode in a bus, like the bus that we rented for the whole group, I had no car, I had no ride. So I had to ask my friend to drive me from that place, the campsite, to Seoul. And Saturday traffic was crazy, and I had to call my friend, actually her friend, to drive her to the hospital. So we went there, and I was thinking, if I am late, if I get stuck here, if I don't make it to the hospital in time, that would be it. She will say that the whole rest of my life. So I was telling my friend, you have to drive faster. I don't care if you get a ticket or not, you have to get me there. Luckily, we got to the hospital at the same time, like 10 p.m., and JJ was born at like 2 in the morning. So thank God for that. Or 4 in the morning or 2 in the morning, sometime later. But we missed that time because JJ came 10 days earlier than expected. So that's what happened. I heard usually the first baby comes after the due date. But the baby came 10 days earlier. They're like, what in the world is that? When Ashley was about to come, so we were prepared at that time. We were like, okay, we have to prepare that she might come earlier. So we were living at Andrews at the time. So I went to Korea and brought my mother-in-law to be here so that she could take care of Jasmine. We brought her in a month early, a month before the due date. So she was there, but then since she was full, we couldn't really go anywhere. I couldn't take her anywhere. Andrews is near Niagara Falls, and there are, you know, some other things that you can do, but we couldn't go anywhere because we didn't know when the baby was going to come. 2 weeks before the due date, nothing. 1 week before the due date, nada. Due date, nothing happened. Like, okay, what's going on? And I talked to the doctor, like, hey doctor, is there something going on? Why isn't the baby coming? Like, well, you have to wait for God's time. Ashley came a week after the due date. So, I don't know if you know, but if you come into the States, there is a 90-day period that you can come in and have to leave after 90 days. Since we brought her a month ahead of time, my mother-in-law only had like less than 2 months left to be with us. So we had to let her go less than 2 months. So the thing is that the moral of the story is that we knew the approximate time of when the baby will come, but we never knew the exact time. Because babies come in God's time, right? So when the Bible says God's timing, when the time had fully come, what does that really mean? So we've been studying this timeline of God's remnant church, and we talked about 2300-day prophecy last week. And in turn, it tied that off with the theme of this whole year-end and Christmas season and all so on. So it means this. All throughout history, God has promised the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one. And when was that promise given? The promise of the given son is given in the Garden of Eden. So the fullness of time had come when he just came. But the promise was given to Adam and Eve. When was that promise given? And in what verse?
3:15.
Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So that was the very first promise that God has given to Adam and Eve about the coming Messiah, the chosen, the anointed one. Now when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, when they had their firstborn, first son, Cain, they expected Cain to be the Messiah, so they can go back into the Garden of Eden. But was that the case? No, it wasn't. As a matter of fact, they had to wait, the humanity had to wait for a long time, almost 4,000 years. But Israelites were not given the exact timeline of when Jesus was going to be born. They were only given the promise that he will be born sometime through the line of Abraham and Jacob. So that's what happened. Now, this picture of Jesus healing the blind person or the deaf or the mute, that promise has been given throughout the history of Israelites, and they've been reciting the promise all the time. So here, in that day, the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of the gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. Isaiah 29:18. Of this verse, which of this part is time phrase? Is there any words here that indicate time? In that day. So when Isaiah was talking about the time of, this is the prophecy of the Messiah, when the Messiah will come and do these things, Messiah was talking about the time here, in that day. The next verse, the same thing. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Now this also time phrase here, or time word that indicates time, is then. So in the Bible prophecy, there are a lot of times it talks about a specific time of the Messiah's birth, because that's important. That's the crucial part. Now, if you continue on, this picture, what is this picture about? A baptism. Baptism of duty. Whose baptism do you think this is? This is John the Baptist and Jesus' baptism. Now, when Jesus came to John to be baptized, what did John say to Jesus? Well, why did you come to me? You need to baptize me, not me baptizing you. But Jesus said something. Do you remember what he said? Jesus replied, "Let it be so." What's the next word? That word now, is that a time phrase? Yes, it's talking about a specific time. What does Jesus mean by let it be so now? So all this time, for 4,000 years, that was not possible. But that day, when Jesus came to John the Baptist, he said, it's okay now, let it be so now, because that specific time has come. What's the time? The time for the Messiah to be? We looked at the time prophecy last week. Remember? The time that Messiah will be anointed, and then the Messiah will be cut off, and then the time that was set aside for 70 weeks for the Jews. Remember that time frame? That specific time is what Jesus is talking about. Let it be so now. Now, if you continue on, did everyone understand the prophecy of the specific time? No. This is the picture of Mary, Jesus' mother, telling Jesus, hey, they ran out of wine. Do something. Remember that story? The wedding of Cana. So when Mary said, they don't have any more wine, meaning fresh grape juice, they don't have any more drinks left, you gotta do something, otherwise the wedding will be ruined. And the reply that Jesus told his mother was what? Woman, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my hour has not yet come. What does Jesus mean by that? My hour has not yet come. The hour that Jesus has started his ministry, so that time had come. But the time that he is going to be crucified and cut off and the sacrifice stopped, that time has not yet come. If he were to go ahead and perform the miracle, then others will realize that he has this special power. He is the Son of God. People would know that too soon, so that his crucifixion may happen earlier than the time that was given. So Jesus has calculated everything, meaning he's communicating with the Father every time he prays in the morning, and God will tell him, this is something that you need to do today. This is something that you need to do tomorrow. And there is a specific schedule and timing. And he's following the timing of the Father. And at that time, Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. Nevertheless, he still does a miracle. He still makes the fresh grape juice for the wedding feast because Mary had the complete faith in Jesus. So he does that out of respect. But because of that, I believe that Jesus had to cut out some other ministry that he could have done to compensate for the lost time that he had. So that's what he means by my hour has not yet come. And if you go on, this time, what is this picture? Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is coming, and there are a whole bunch of people sleeping. And Jesus said, couldn't you stay up for 1 hour and pray for me? But the next verse, he says, then he returned to the disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered to the hands of sinners. What is this hour? The hour that he will be crucified. That hour that has been given in the Garden of Eden, the hour that has been prophesied through Daniel, the hour that the whole humanity, the whole Israelites had been waiting, that exact precise timing had now come. Who understood this timing? Most people did. The disciples did it. And the Israelites did it. And they were, in fact, they were thinking about something completely different. And in John 19 here, when he had received the drink, he had said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. So, what does he mean by it is finished? The time that had expired, that the plan of salvation is now finished. At the same time, the exact precise timing has now been finished. That's what he meant by that. The plan of salvation is now complete. So, when you look at the timing, the time has been fulfilled. That's what the whole history is talking about. I could give you so many more different examples of how Israelites have been waiting the messianic prophecy given and being fulfilled, but I don't have time for that. My time is up now. But the funny thing is that the exact time of Jesus' birth and his baptism and his death was given. So for 3,500 years, only the promises were given that the Messiah will be. But the exact timing was given to Daniel in Daniel chapter 9. when the time prophecy of 2300 AD was given. But until that time, people didn't know. But for 500 years, from the time of Daniel to the time of Jesus, people could have studied and known. And there are some people who figured out the time and were there to accept Jesus when he came. Who were those people? There are two groups of people, actually three groups of people. The first group is the group of shepherds. They were talking about Jesus and saying, well, it's about time. Why isn't he coming? They were talking about that. And the angels came and appeared to them. Remember that story? They probably didn't know the exact date that Jesus was going to be born. But they probably knew the year that he was going to be baptized. And they knew how long, how many years he has to be, because the age that the priest go into official ministry is what year?
30.
Age 30 is when they can be ministered. So then, when did Jesus start his public ministry? He was 30. So knowing, calculating the time that he is going to be baptized and be anointed, that he was going to be 30. So then subtract 30 years, and that's the year that he was going to be born. So people could have calculated that and known that. And that's what exactly the shepherds have done. And the magi, the wise men, they studied that. They studied the Bible, and then they came traveling, figuring out the exact time of his birth. So they knew that. But then the priests didn't know. The rabbis didn't know. A lot of people didn't know. They basically ignored that. The first coming, the date was given, or the exact year was given. The second coming, though, however, we are living in the time of the second coming. Now, is the precise timing given to us? No. We don't know the hour or date. Nobody knows the date. However, we are given the time prophecy. And if you look at the time prophecy, this 2300 day prophecy. So, the time of the end. So the 70 weeks prophecy had ended with the Stephen's death. And then the time of the end ended in 1798 with the fall of the Pope and the death of the Pope. 1798. And then the 2300 day prophecy, the longest running time prophecy of the Bible, has ended in 1844, over 200 years ago. That time prophecy had ended, meaning where are we living in this chart of the Bible prophecy? We went off the chart. We are in 2024, and now we are about to go into 2025. The time had expired, basically. The time chart had expired. We are living in the very tip of the human history. And should we know about the timing? Yes, we don't know the exact date or time or when Jesus will come, but we know about the time. Like how we were given the time of delivery date, even though we didn't know the exact date that our kids would be born. Should we, as a remnant church of God, know about this timing? Should we know and be prepared for his soon coming? It is my prayer that we will be prepared for his soon coming, because we don't want to be like the rabbis. We don't want to be like the rulers. We don't want to be like the teachers of the Israelite law, not knowing the time of Jesus coming or ignoring the time of Jesus coming. Because we can fall into the same category. As a remnant people, we should know the timing. And we should be prepared. But are we prepared? And the last verse that I'm sharing here says, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect. That's the promise. Second coming, we don't know the exact time. But he's coming at a time that we're not expecting. So then we need to be prepared. Friends, as we are celebrating this year end and Christmas season, and we are all happy that we can wear this red and give gifts and like Christmas and celebrating all the songs and singing the beautiful songs, but are we in our heart preparing our hearts for our soon returning Jesus? And it's my prayer that we will keep the timing of what's happening in this world history and be prepared for his coming. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the promise that you've given us, the promise of the coming Messiah, who had come 2,000 years ago to redeem us. Lord, you have come at the exact and precise moment as the Bible had predicted. And there are some people who study the time and who had prepared, but there are many in the world, the whole world basically, except for the few people, including Anna and Simeon. A lot of people didn't know, didn't prepare. Lord, we pray that we would not fall into the same category of missing the time of your soon coming. Lord, we are given all the prophecies, given all the resources, and we are living in the last days. We hear the wars and the rumors of wars, and what's happening, the pestilences and the diseases, and all those uneasiness of what's going on, that's pointing us to the coming of, the second coming of Jesus. Lord, help us to be awakened. Help us to be prepared for your soon coming. Because, Lord, when we are not prepared, you'll be coming at the hour that we are not expecting. Help us to be prepared for your soon coming so that we can be that remnant church of God. Bless us, Lord, that we can be part of the remnant church, being ready and waiting for your soon coming.